Wired Jesus Podcast, March 29th, 2007. Creative Commons licensed.
Transmitters? We don't need no stinking transmitters!
Wired Jesus Podcast.
I walk a lonely road, the only one that I have ever known. Don't know where it goes, but it's home to me and I walk alone.
Wired wanderings of a postmodern pilgrim.
I walk this empty street on the boulevard of broken dreams.
And you will know my name is the Lord when I lay my vengeance upon thee.
Well, I don't like your God. Your God scares me.
My boy, we're pilgrims in an unholy land.
Hello, and welcome to the Wired Jesus Podcast, the wired wanderings of a postmodern pilgrim. I'm your host and fellow traveler, Tom Lieberg, and glad you've come along for our journey together. Yes, I've read your emails and your questions, and sadly, after nearly 2 months without a podcast, it's just taken a while. And so I do owe you folks who have been faithful listeners and still have been checking to see for a new podcast, I do owe you some answers. As you saw in my last post, it's been a sad time for us as one of our two dogs developed an illness that we couldn't identify, other than he was rapidly losing weight and after 4 weeks had lost almost 30 pounds and had to be put down. It wasn't the whole dog food thing with the rat poison and that, but a bad pancreas that had just failed and was preventing him from absorbing his digested food. So with Lent and the dog, that ate up a great deal of time in the last month. However, there have also been other issues that have eaten away at Wired Jesus podcasting time that didn't involve the dog, but do involve the new congregation I'm serving. Well, while Wired Jesus was part of what I openly brought to my ministry here, it turned into a point of conflict with some members who felt it was inappropriate, either in content or that I shouldn't be using any of my quote-unquote church time to blog or write. And so rather than pick new fights in the midst of some other crises here, Wired Jesus kind of slipped to the side as far as my ministry and into my much more limited free time. And so there were less frequent podcasts. It's somewhat ironic that a small town Ohio congregation was much more progressive than here in the Chicago burbs when it comes to the use of technology in ministry. That was a surprise to me and a surprise on their end too. It's all part of the larger picture of differences that we both had that weren't apparent when I was offered the call here. And call, that's the language we use in the church for when you take a new job as a pastor. It really is an important distinction for us. To say that it's a call is to confess that God is involved in bringing you together rather than just a compensation package and a job description. And that's kind of the rub of where we're at right now. While we said we agreed on the call, the expectations on their part and on mine turned out to be rather different once we tried to live out our ministries together. It's kind of like dating for a while, and then when you get married, you discover some important differences that weren't mentioned or overlooked before, and that's upsetting for everyone involved. Add to that some issues in which I had to call my bishop in to handle, and some angry people saying some rather nasty things about here and about me here, and the vision for ministry to postmoderns that I thought I was asked to share. And unfortunately, there's a list of some other things as well. Suffice it to say, it's been some of the most aggravating and miserable time off and on that I've ever had in my 17 years of a pastor. And so together, congregation and pastor, we've been having to relearn and change to meet each other halfway. Taken all together, it's taken a great deal of time and energy to start to make some headway in all this. But finally, after almost a year, there does seem to be some light at the end of the tunnel. It's involved a lot of effort and willingness for us both to reinvent ourselves for a new situation for ministry. That involves give and take on both sides, and it's a situation none of us expected. But I think something good is finally beginning to come out of it. And Wired Jesus will hopefully continue to be part of that. The good part is a growing understanding of not only the differences in our culture, the postmodern culture in which I live and have served in various ways, including through this virtual ministry for years, and their culture, which has been a rather different world, which has been more much more traditional Lutheran church style than I realized, and they did as well. It's different understandings of ministry and where and how we're called to serve, but we're beginning to realize that where we're both coming from, it's not incompatible. I guess I would kind of compare it to what I saw in Good Morning America a few weeks ago with an interview with Brad Stein about his new group, Godmen. The intent of Godmen seems to be to create a screaming postmodern version of Promise Keepers that takes all the issues of being a 21st century male very seriously. And it's really intriguing to see how the boomer crowd, Christians and the skeptical media alike, just simply don't get Brad and Godmen. Now, I have to admit, I have not explored Godmen in really in-depth detail. I've read news stories, I've gone through their blog, seen some of the stuff on TV, and I do have to say I have a great deal of sympathy for what Brad and his leaders are going through, as well as their vision of where they see God calling them. Brad states Godmen came out of his reading of David Murrow's book called Why Men Hate Going to Church. And the book lays out what's been called the feminization of the church and of Jesus, and this exodus of men out of the church. Most congregations that you go to now on a Sunday morning, 30% typically is what you'll see as far as men. Everyone else are women and children. And there's been a change in culture, and folks aren't quite catching on to that. And I can relate to some of the things that David Murrow points out in his book and that Brad really resonates with, this whole Jesus meek and mild thing, a much more passive understanding of faith, and this kind of turning Christianity into either good behavior, good citizenship, or, you know, kind of a mellow 60s activism. You know, Brad, in the one interview that I saw, described most of the worship that he saw today, both in mainline churches and in evangelical churches, as essentially amounting to singing prom songs to Jesus, and it's so true. I mean, it reminded me of a great South Park episode where Cartman forms his own Christian boy band, and for the music, he just goes out and takes any love song he can get his hands on, takes the names out, and puts the name of Jesus instead. So to hear, you know, a Jesus song done, you know, as a Barry White tune is just hysterical. I mean, and not only was it so funny, but it was also way too true for much of what passes for Christian music today. You know, we now have the Swedish surfer Jesus, who's our church club mascot and safe date, rather than the prophetic Jesus that I see in the Bible, who is Lord and leader of a dangerous countercultural movement, who's constantly changing people's lives and calling them to live in a way that's completely different around them. You don't get that from a boy band.
Our band should play Christian rock. Christian rock? Think about it. It's the easiest, crappiest music in the world, right? If we just play songs about how much we love Jesus, all the Christians will buy our crap. Our first album cover. Don't ever leave me, Jesus. I couldn't stand to see you go. My heart would simply snap, my lord, if you walked on out that door. I promise I'll be good to you and keep you warm at night. Jesus, 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 why don't we just shut off the light?
When you look at God, man, and when I look at where I am in this congregation, the one thing that I see is that in the way in which life has changed, life has not only become raw compared to the 1950 values that boomers were raised with, rejected, but then still secretly harbor. Postmoderns expect you to be raw, that raw is the only way to be authentic, and raw is the only way to take them and engage them seriously. And so when you do ministry on the edge, the raw aspects of life come into play. And those who like a quiet, ordered club as church come unglued. They just can't handle it and question its validity. So you get things like, keep food pantries and the poor out of sight on Sundays, that, you know, people who are addicts or abused need to stay quiet and stay in the pastor's office to ask for help. And, you know, certainly keep out the language of technology that brings the world inside our fortress of stained glass. All that stuff is too unwelcome and too edgy. So when Godmen takes on the issues of porn and unhealthy images of masculinity and brings the team language of the locker room into worship and faith, well, some people sack up and connect with it. And others have a meltdown because we all know that Jesus never really had testicles and was really much more like a divine Ken doll. You know, from what I've seen, Brad is doing some good things. And I do have some questions about some of the other things. The song lyrics that they use are a little odd, even for me. But hey, none of us is right on. And Brad is reaching a group of people who have rejected the mascot Jesus of 20th century American Christianity, and who have rejected what most of our congregations are doing or pass for being church. And for that, Brad is taking a beating from Christians who regard him as some type of adolescent heretic pervert. And he's taking a beating from the media who portray him as the newest evangelist huckster of the moment. My take? More power to him. At least there's a life and an energy that you don't see in most churches, and I'll take that any day. Well, Prom Songs for Jesus. That's it for this podcast. Thanks again for all the emails, and as far as the next podcast, well, I have joined the rebellion and purchased a MacBook Pro. So the next podcast is going to be done on GarageBand with all the improvements that Apple Tech has to offer. Unfortunately, my new MacBook seems to have an inactive line in port, so I got to take it into the Apple Store, and hopefully it's just a software thing and not a hardware thing. I won't have to send it back in. But once we clear Easter, I do want to get back on track to a life beyond the crisis of the week that has dominated much of my ministry in this congregation for the last 8 months, and get back to Wired Jesus on a regular basis again. You listeners have been very supportive, and back in the early days of podcasting, 2 years ago, you made this podcast one of the highest ranked podcasts on Podcast Alley for religious podcasts. And I'd like to get back to that, and that's going to mean more regular podcasts, an update to the webpage, and a few other improvements that I have on the work list. So hang in there, because I will. The next one that we'll do will be, I'll take you back to last month when we hosted a live U2 Eucharist and talk a little bit about U2 and their view of God and how that connects with us as postmoderns. So thanks for walking with Wired Jesus, and see you out there on the road.
What if God was one of us? Just a slug like one of us. Blue, 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 blue. Yeah, blah, blee, blee, blee. Well done.
Very good.
Dr. Evil, that was fantastic.
Thank you, number two.
I wrote that.
Yeah.